Live and Lansing, Jack Ebling is on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and you, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in our first guest, as we do each Friday, the editor of Inside Michigan Politics, Bill Ballinger. Hello, Bill.
Hi, Jack.
Well, this news about General Motors and the IPO and the apparent recovery, or at least the start of a strong recovery for the domestic auto industry, sounds like something that might be playing into Virge Bernero's hands. I would think that he would need a lot of breaks like that.
Yeah, it certainly can't hurt his chances. Obviously, he can say that this is an example of government helping private industry when private industry really needs it, and maybe it's going to work. We hope so.
Certainly, that is not the philosophy we have seen from most Republicans in terms of stimulus, in terms of what seemed to be, at the time, a very controversial move in floating the auto industry a bridge loan. And now we're seeing some positive signs as a result of it. Would you expect this to be a major issue in the campaign?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, we've got to keep in mind we are talking here in Michigan.
Right.
We look at this a little differently than most of the rest of the country because we are the capital of the auto industry, or at least we have been. But, of course, it's our governor's race we're talking about, not a race in another state. So, yes, it could be a factor, but the big missing element in all this is, what is Rick Snyder's attitude toward this? We don't know.
Right.
He's never said a thing about the bailout of General Motors. Wasn't ever mentioned in the campaign in any way, shape, or form at all by him, and it really wasn't much of an issue in the Republican gubernatorial primary either. So it remains to be seen if Bernero can find some record of Snyder having said something at some point, maybe last year, that was critical of the federal government's bailout of General Motors, then maybe we'll have the controversy that you're talking about. But that hasn't happened yet.
Well, I think you make a very good point, Bill. We're going to have Virge Bernero on this show in just a couple of minutes, and then we're going to have an extended interview next Tuesday with Rick Snyder. And I'm still not sure where Rick Snyder stands on a number of issues. I have an indication, but maybe in an election like this, it's best not to have all your positions nailed down if you can avoid it.
Yeah, I would say so, particularly in this case. I mean, if Snyder has not said anything at all up to this point about the bailout of General Motors a year and a half ago, then he can at least come up with some kind of response or reaction to what has happened since the federal government stepped in and how things look now. At this point, though, it's a blank slate. We just don't know. And whether it becomes an issue with Bernero remains to be seen.
Bill, there is one race and one issue which is shaping up as being a very strong dividing line between the candidates, and this has to do with the 7th Congressional District and Social Security. And I think Mark Schauer is going to hammer away at this as much as he can. There are quotes from Tim Walberg about privatization, and Mark Schauer is pointing to Wall Street saying, see, there's your privatization. But we have had maybe some conflicting information on what Tim Walberg's position has been. He said, I am in favor, and I'm not in favor, and I am in favor.
Well, look, Mark Schauer so far has absorbed a lot of whipping from various Republican mouthpieces for the last year and a half about his votes in the Congress on a variety of issues, and he really hasn't said much back.
Right.
At this point, it sounds to me like Mark Schauer is reaching into the classic Democratic playbook, and that is, you know, Republicans really aren't all that sympathetic with Social Security. They think it should be at least partially privatized. That was part of President George W. Bush's plan. Remember that.
Right.
And, you know, Wahlberg was in Congress for a term, and I'm sure his fingerprints are all over a bunch of proposals, and he's made statements that indicate he doesn't view Social Security as being as sacrosanct as Mark Schauer and most Democrats do. Now, to be honest, I think both Schauer and Wahlberg would agree Social Security is headed for trouble in terms of its solvency at some point,
right.
And shouldn't that issue be addressed sooner rather than later? But
we were told now it's 2037 is the year.
Well, that sounds pretty far away. It's, you know, whatever. But that's not a very good excuse for not doing anything,
right,
Jack.
Right.
But I think a lot of people are kind of using it as an excuse because it sounds right. Like it's so far in the distant future. But the problem is, Jack, I just don't think that even if there's agreement between Republicans and Democrats or Tim Walberg and Mark Schauer that something ought to be done, you're going to hear much intelligent effort to resolve the different approaches this fall. I think you're going to see hand grenades and bombs thrown by both sides, and it's not going to be too edifying.
Bill, Michigan with the budget crisis yet again. I think we just keep recycling this story, but now it looks as if the Attorney General's office, faced with slashing positions to save $1.2 million, that would be 15 jobs. Department of Corrections looking at the prospect of closing a prison facility. That would involve layoffs, certainly, and that's $50 million. What happens to those prisoners?
What happens to the prisoners? Well, they're going to be out in the street. We have to hope that they're as benign and harmless as a lot of people are saying they are. I mean, the big issue with our prisoner population, according to many critics of the way we incarcerate people, is that we've just got too many drug addicts in prison, people who are really sick or addicted rather than being hardened criminals, and they don't really belong in prison, and let's let them loose and try and keep track of them by electronic tether or probation or whatever and hope that disaster doesn't happen. Whether, you know, we're going to end up with some kind of atrocity such as we've had in the not-too-distant past where some prisoner is released when he ordinarily wouldn't have been and he commits some heinous crime, let's hope it doesn't happen, but it might.
And when that happens, who has the blood stain politically?
Well, again, I think what will happen is what has happened in the past, unfortunately. There will be newspaper headlines, radio stories,
yeah.
TV, and there will be a hue and cry that we've gone soft on crime, and whoever was a responsible governor or head of the prisoner system or in the legislature that allowed this to happen, heads out of roll. It's outrageous. We got to, you know, crack down on this. We got to lock them up and throw away the key again. That's what we've done in the past.
It's like a big pendulum, Bill. It just swings back and forth from one direction to the other, and, you know, you just go along for the ride, I guess.
Well, unfortunately, that's true. I think there has been an effort to try and get the pendulum to slow down its wild gyrations, and maybe it'll shift a little bit, but more near the bottom of the hour between 5 and 7 instead of 9 and 3.
Bill Ballinger, our guest from Inside Michigan Politics, a great source for news on state government. Bill, thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
My pleasure, Jack.
We'll be right back. We're going to talk with Lansing Mayor and Democratic gubernatorial candidate Virge Bernero up next on Ebling and You.